Every week, 140,000 hard drives fail in the United States. What would data loss do to your business? Join 100,000 businesses that trust Mosey to protect their files and provide secure access to them anywhere. Visit Mosey.com, that's M-O-Z-Y.com, to learn more. Mosey, it's always there. Welcome to the HBR IdeaCast from Harvard Business Review. I'm Sarah Green. I'm talking today with Erica Ariel Fox. She teaches negotiation at Harvard Law School, is a co-founder of Mobius Executive Leadership, and is a senior advisor to McKinsey Leadership Development. Her new book is the New York Times bestseller, Winning from Within, a breakthrough method for leading, living, and lasting change. Erica, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks so much. I'm so happy to be here.
So the book is really aimed at people who have a performance gap that they're trying to overcome. And maybe for years they've been told to speak up in meetings or speak less in meetings, or they're trying to get their temper under control, you know, something like that. It's so funny about when you talk about these performance gaps that there are often things that we know about. It's sort of not a surprise, and yet we still can't overcome them. So why do we so often get in our own way on this kind of thing?
Well, this is a really fundamental question, and it goes to one of the heart messages of the book, which is we do have different sides of ourselves, and I think of them as inner negotiators. And each of those inner negotiators has its own style, has its own priorities, interests, things it cares about, and ways of behaving in the world. So if you tend to rely, and I'll give you an example, on one or two of your inner negotiators a lot, let's say you're very strong as a thinker, so you use a lot of analytical reasoning, facts, and logic, or you're very strong as a worrier, and you really focus on getting things done. You identify your profile is about being a thinker-warrior, and you may have a spike. You're really good at it. But then you get feedback from a client who says, we love your recommendations, but we don't really love you. Meaning, as trusted advisors, you're not building that relationship. So, you know, the head of the team gives you feedback. You need to really build your relationship with the client. You understand that conceptually, but because you really identified as a thinker and warrior, you actually don't have access to the tools that live in other domains. Other inner negotiators have the skills to build trust and rapport and inspire people. So what you're going to end up doing is just doing more of what you always did. You'll think, I need to make my argument more persuasive, or I need to take action more quickly, more efficiently, come in under budget, you know, wow them with the complexity of our analysis, just keeping in the same performance gap you had before. You're trying harder, but you're still within the same band of behaviors based on your profile. So my advice about closing the performance gap is to notice the inner negotiators that you identify with most. There's nothing wrong with them. They're terrific, but you have other aspects of yourself as well. And those other parts of you have capability you're not tapping until you stretch into them. And when you act on those different parts, you'll start getting different results.
So before we get into how you might actually address that, I want to just back up a little bit and ask, why is it so important to see yourself as a mix of these inner negotiators instead of just seeing yourself as one integrated self?
Mm-hmm. Well, at the end of the day, you know, of course we are one integrated self, but in terms of trying to make decisions and making good decisions, if you think of yourself as just one unitary me, then you're likely to experience a lot of inner conflict because some part of you, you know, does want to pursue the relationship, some part of you wants to break up. There's a discomfort and an inner conflict, and often people get paralyzed. If you say, I am one person, I'm a unitary person, but I have a profile and I have inner negotiators inside of me, one is really focused on my vision. It's the part of me that wants to go get a loan from the bank and start my own business, and it's always been my dream to do that and my passion. And yes, there is another part of me that's more analytical, looking at the numbers, looking at my bank account and my Excel spreadsheet, watching the market and saying, I don't know if this is the best idea right now. Now you can say, okay, I want to look at these two sides of myself. They're both valid perspectives. It's not a war. I'm not in conflict. I just have these two sides with different views. And just like you would if they were people sitting around a conference table, you'd talk to them, understand their values, what do they need most to reach agreement. You can start negotiating with those sides of yourself, and you can actually resolve conflict in that way. It's a much less painful process. You'll get to results more quickly, and I think you'll also get more durable results because you take into account, you know, the various needs that parts of you experience.
So today we've talked about two of your inner negotiators already, and that was the warrior that you mentioned and also the thinker. But in the book, you actually talk about four, which you call the big four, and it's the warrior and the thinker, but also the dreamer and the lover. And you refer to this as your inner executive committee. Could you just walk us through those? What are these different four parts doing?
Yes, and just to, if I can double click on the executive committee, yeah. I often say you can think of them as the dreamer is your inner CEO, the part in charge of vision, strategic direction, inspiration. The CFO is like the thinker who's doing risk management, could be a general counsel, but who's doing analysis. The VP of HR is a nice metaphor for the lover. That's the person in charge of relationships, communication, developing talent, you know, the person in your office who's trying to keep employees engaged and developing them over time. And then the warrior, I analogize to the chief operating officer, who just really, you know, needs to keep everything on track, keep the trains going, coming in on time. And just like an executive team has a CEO, a COO, a chief operating officer, and, you know, could be a chief people officer, chief talent officer, or VP of HR, you have these different roles or, you know, profiles inside of you.
So this is interesting because I think there's kind of, what I'm hearing is that there's a lot of kind of reflection that has to happen kind of in, you know, downtime or kind of time that you set aside to really work on this. But I know for some people, maybe what they really struggle with is kind of being in the moment. So for instance, someone who has been advised to say, stop letting their temper get the better of them, for instance, mm-hmm. might have, yes, some work to do kind of on the side, on the weekends or whatever, but also would need to have some resource that they can draw on in the moment to stop from snapping at their colleagues or something like that. So how do you slow down in the moment if you're not sort of hanging back and reflecting?
That is a wonderful question. So I've talked actually about seven aspects, you know, trying to give people a map of the inner life of a leader. The big four are really the fundamental parts of you that you need to show up and go to work every day and function at home. What you're asking is, if you step back a little bit, even if you knew how to access all four of them in the moment, you know, if there's time pressure or emotions are charged or you get hooked somehow, how can you choose skillful behavior? And that gets to the third part of the book where I talk about the transformers. These are three parts of you, almost like a board of directors that governs your inner executive team.
Mm.
And these you can actually draw on in a minute. You don't need to spend 40 years meditating to learn about this stuff. If you think about, for example, when you said, you know, something sets you off and you get angry. So if you start writing an email and it's very hostile and critical, it's all true, but it's just kind of antagonistic, most people, and I would imagine this is true for you, Sarah, that some little voice says to you, maybe before I hit send, maybe I'll save it as a draft, right? Or you're driving on the road and someone cuts you off and you want to accelerate into their car, but there's some little part of you that hesitates and says, you know, you're going to lose a whole day explaining this to the police. So you don't accelerate into the back of the car, even though you feel that impulse. So that hesitation, which is a form of self-protection, that's the part that I've called the lookout, which is this little part that's looking out for you, right? This lookout is saying, I know what your impulses are. I know you want to yell or tell this person off or ram your car or send this email, but that lookout is alive and well. We all have that capability right now. So it's just a matter of practice in saying, you know, I listen to my lookout when I feel road rage. Sitting right now in this committee meeting, I'm starting to feel committee rage, but I've trained myself to listen to my lookout who's waving a flag warning me, just like you didn't send the email, I think this is not the right time to make that comment. you know, that's going to seem like an attack on your boss.
Mm.
So the transformers are these other elements that complement the big four, and they help you, you know, to use your best skills and your higher nature in the moment, especially when the pressure's on.
Mm. So question about that is, why aren't those four enough? Why do you also need to have these other three transformers, as you call them, or the board of directors, to really help you lead?
Well, it would be a little bit like if you think about an orchestra and you say, look, we have the strings and we have, you know, the trumpets and we have the percussion. Why do we need the conductor?
Mm.
We've got all the players, you know, we just say, like, play. And, you know, you'd get something, but it wouldn't be a beautiful symphony. So you have these core players, right? And you could say the same of a football team. I mean, everybody's there on the field. Somebody's got to call the plays. So the lookout is there to help you notice in real time, you know, what am I doing? What am I about to do? The captain is like the conductor of the instruments. And the conductor doesn't have to play his own instrument, but he is aware of the way the big four are operating and wants to make sure that they're working together effectively, that there's a harmony, that there's a balance, and that conductor role is crucial to get good results out of the big four, which are like your instruments. And that's why I say it's like a board of directors. You know, the day-to-day work of a company will be done by the executive team, but there is this group, you know, looking at the big picture with a little distance, making sure, are we on purpose? Are we, you know, of course, within laws and regulations, but are we, you know, fulfilling our mission, giving returns to shareholders, just keeping everybody on track? And that's really what the transformers are doing.
Mm-hmm. And now I think there are three transformers. One is the lookout who kind of notices when you're about to do something stupid.
Yeah, or something wonderful.
Or something great. Yep, exactly.
Something fabulous.
Got to be an optimist there, too. The captain is kind of the one who says, like, if your dreamer and your thinker are fighting, it's kind of like brokering peace among those or saying, well, maybe we need to bring in the warrior to sort this out or something like that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. And then what's the third one?
The Voyager is different from the other two mostly because of time. So the lookout and the captain are really operating in this moment right now. Sarah is in a meeting. She's with her colleagues. The lookout says, Sarah, shh. You know, you're about to get hysterical. I don't think this is very helpful. And then, you know, your captain comes in and says, I do think you have something important to say. When is the right time to say it? And to whom and how? And still supports you to take a step, but to do it constructively. The Voyager is taking a long-term perspective over the course of your life. It's not taking a snapshot of you in any one moment, but it's saying, this is the part of you that wants to grow and evolve over time.
So I'm reminded at this point, I guess, a bit of almost the old Whitney Houston song, you know, I'm every woman, it's all in me. It's like, you promise there's only these seven? It's like there aren't going to be 20 other sort of secret parts of myself hiding inside me.
Well, I guess I have bad news and good news on that.
Okay.
So I often reference the American mythologist Joseph Campbell because he coined the idea that we are a hero with 1,000 faces. So what does that mean? Are there only seven inner parts of a human being that we need to care about? No. There are many, many parts of us. And even within these categories, by the way, there are different expressions of them, right? So within the lover, there's sort of the parental love, which is different from sibling love, which is different from romantic love, which is different than the love between a mentor and a protege. So even the four categories have nuance. So I am not meaning to say, and it wouldn't be true, this is all you need to know. If you've got these guys down, you're set. You are master of your inner domain.
Mm.
What is true, though, and I have thousands of people I've worked with around the world to support this claim, what is true is that if you focus on these four, don't worry about the 1,000, you start to understand how they operate, you start experimenting and, you know, doing little stretches here and there at home or at work to incorporate more of the big four in your repertoire. If you become masterful, my belief, with these four in a day-to-day way and you know how to harness your transformers to keep you in line, right? So you know how to play the instruments. You've got the conductor who tells you when to play which one. The lookout is telling in any given moment, ah, wait, that wasn't the plan. You know, drop the flute, get the drum. And you have a commitment to a development path over your life. That's your Voyager's process. That's your life journey of learning and developing. My experience is that you can get stronger relationships, better results on the ground, better outcomes, and frankly, more of life's deeper rewards. You know, people who have been doing this winning from within type of journey work for years have said, yes, their businesses are more successful. Yes, they are less paralyzed by decision making because they've learned the inner negotiation process, but they're also happier. They're more fulfilled. You know, they feel deeper satisfaction because they know how to clarify inside of themselves what is most important to do and how and when, and they have a lot more feeling of freedom and choice.
Well, Erica, thank you for taking the time today to walk through the framework with us. I know there's a lot more in-depth information in the book, which I personally have to say I found enormously helpful. So thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm so happy that we got to talk about it, and I hope you do it again.
That was Erica Ariel Fox. The book is Winning from Within. For more, visit hbr.org.